Thank you, Praise Team, for leading us this morning. What a great song to lead into the sermon. Oh, Lord, I need you. And boy, we do need him. We do need him. Whether you know it or not, or whether you think it or not, we do need the Lord with us and in us. For the next couple Sundays, I want to talk about prayer. And I want to encourage all of you here to be praying as the year starts out. In fact, I really am convinced that we as a church need to get stronger and better at praying. And I think there's a tremendous power in prayer that we are not experiencing because we do not pray as God would want us to pray. Now, I'm not going to get as much into how often we pray and all that stuff for the today, but what I'm going to want to look at is a prayer that Paul prays. In fact, there are two prayers that Paul prays, one both in the book of Ephesians that we're going to be looking at today and next Sunday. And these prayers have such a, I think they're just a great, model prayer for us of how we can pray for one another. Because one of the things that I want to be better at this year is to be praying for you. And I'm hoping that you will have a desire to be better in praying for me as well for one another. Oftentimes when we talk about prayer, we always think about prayer in a reactive way. In other words, something happens and we go, oh my, that's terrible. And so we pray. Instead of being proactive in our prayer life, praying for things that aren't just something that has happened to someone. I mean, don't get me wrong, we need to be praying for the physical needs we have. We need to be keeping Craig in our prayers this week, and the surgeon, we need to be keeping that in our prayers, and the Morgan family as they're in China. I mean, they're clear across the other side of the world from us right now, that's a long ways away, and we need to be praying for them and for Armita as she's not feeling well right now, and those are always things that we need to pray for. But unfortunately, that tends to almost dominate our prayer life. We pray for needs of people who are sick and hurting, and again, we've got to do that. We're supposed to, and that's not. A bad thing at all. But if we just limit it to being reactive in our prayers, we're only going to be praying for things that have already happened and that God would work in the lives of the individuals. But if we look at a proactive prayer life, then we're going to be praying for things to come, things to happen. Things that aren't in existence now, things that we are not seeing now. And so I want to challenge you to be proactive in your prayer life. Not praying just about things that have happened, but praying for things that you want to see happen. And Paul just gives us a great list in Ephesians chapter 1 of things that we can pray for each other. Things that we can, in our daily prayer life, I would encourage you, take your church directory. Sit down at your table, open it up at the A's. Just be organized here. Start at the beginning, And just take that first name and pray for them. And you say, well, I don't know if I even know who they are. I don't know. What do they need? Well, I'm going to go through four things that they need. Four things that I need. Four things that you need for people to be praying about for you. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Our passage of scripture that we're going to be looking at is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. And this is what Paul writes, and actually this is what he prays in this passage of scripture, starting with verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are a God who wants His people to talk to Him. That you are not distant and far off, just watching life unfold for us. But Father, you are present here with us at all times. And you desire for us to talk to you and to entreat you and to ask you. And Father, knowing that you are willing to give us the things that we need, the things that are important. Father, as we look at this passage of Scripture, Father, I pray that you would challenge our hearts in how we should be praying for one another. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I was going through this passage of Scripture, and this is a great passage of Scripture, I just need to say this. You need to thank Warren Wiersbe for his commentary on this passage of Scripture, because if I hadn't read that, you would have about 18 points in this sermon, because I just kept seeing this and that, and I thought, oh, that's a good point. That's good. And he condensed it down to four for me, and I do appreciate a good theologian who knows how to keep things brief. And we always encourage Dean reading him, and, you know, he does, actually. He makes Warren Wiersbe very, probably as all those other ones he reads, too. So, which is, it's good. Don't get me wrong, Dean, on that. But, you know, how do I pray for someone I don't really know that well? You know, now I've been here, this March will be 17 years. That seems like an awful long time. You know, when I came here, I was young. You know? And you guys, I had hair when I came here. Quite a bit of it, of course, it was here, and not so much here, but I did have it. And, you know, you guys have just worn it off, I guess. But, you know, I know you guys pretty well. There's some of you I don't know as well, because I haven't met you. I haven't known you very long and stuff, but, you know, even though there are people that I know well here, some that are really close friends, and I don't always know how to pray for them. What do I say? They're not sick. You know, I guess I could say, Lord, make them sick so I can have something to pray for them about. But actually, all of us here, including me, we are all lacking things in our life. You know, I am. Boy, I lack a lot of stuff. Probably more than you guys do. And I think Paul hits on it in this prayer that he prays for the Ephesians. First of all, one of the things, and it's not a point in there, but just write it in on your outline, is one of the things that he does is he never ceases to give thanks for the believers. Have you ever just stopped and said, you know, hey, thank you for Joe. Thank you that you have put him in my life. Thank you that he is a part of my life, that he is a part of my church, that he is a part of me. Thank you for him. Thank you for his love for you. Thank you for his dedication for you. Thank you for his spirit, for his talents, his gifts. What, you know, that's a great way to start. Be thankful for one another. You know, if you're thankful for one another, then you don't have time to be critical of one another. You know that? Thanks drives out the bad stuff that we think. And if we are honestly say, Lord, I am thankful for my church family. I am thankful for, and not just a generic prayer, but I really think we need to get down to praying for one another. And I'm trying to figure out how it is that we can do that. And, but, because I want to come up with a good way that everyone here can know that you're being prayed for every week. Wouldn't that be cool to know that? Now, I'm in a fortunate position. Being the pastor of the church, there's a group that meets here 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And you're all welcome to come and join this group. This is not an exclusive group. They don't close the doors unless you've got a prayer badge on. You know, you can come in and you can join them. But one of the things I know they pray for is they pray for me. They pray for me. They know I need a lot of prayer. They know I need a lot of help. And so they pray. And so I have the luxury of someone praying for me because of my position. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I just think it would be so neat if everyone in here knew that someone was praying for them just because of who they are. Because God has laid it on their hearts to pray for them. And I would like to see our church move that direction. That we can pray for one another. And everyone knows that they are prayed for every week. And so, you know, first of all, we can do a prayer of thanks. But again, that's not one. Because if that's one, then your lineup is all filled up. Just say we need to pray with thanksgiving in our hearts for one another. But here we go. Here's the things that we can pray for one another, and you guys can certainly pray for me. The first thing is, we need to pray that God would give you this spiritual understanding. That God would give us spiritual understanding. I didn't really exactly know how to word that. You know, the things of God are not known by the wisdom of this world. The things of God are not known by the wisdom of this world. In Matthew 11:25, Jesus says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to the infants. And he's talking about spiritual things. Unfortunately, man's wisdom gets in the way of God's wisdom. We tend to think that we know and that we can figure out. And I think that's a lot of the problem with our world right now. Because they don't acknowledge that there is a God. They think that we can figure out all of our problems, that we are smart enough to do that. And we're not. For the wisdom of God is hidden from the wise and the scholars of the earth who think that they know everything. Matthew 13, 10 and 11 says, and the disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Now, that was the question, again, that the disciples asked as Jesus spoke in parables. And as a rule, the Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't understand those parables. But Jesus again makes this point that understanding of spiritual things is something that is given to you. It's not something that you naturally have. It's not something that you're going to have just by being a thinking human being or by having a bachelor's degree or a master's degree or a doctorate. That doesn't give you insight into God's wisdom, into God's knowledge, or to the understanding of spiritual things. God reveals that to us. And so we need to be praying for one another that God would reveal to us the spiritual matters, spiritual intelligence, that He would tell us, that we would have understanding of what He is doing, understanding of His Word, understanding of His will, understanding how He works in our life. That is not something that we are going to gain on our own, apart from God. But it is a God-given thing that we can pray for one another. I have to admit, I do not understand everything that God does. I don't. There are some questions out there that I don't know the answers to. Deep spiritual questions that people have. And I think that's what stops a lot of us from talking to our neighbors and to our friends about Jesus Christ. And this is what I've heard. They'll ask me something I don't know. And it's like, okay. Well, we can help you learn those things. But again, we can teach and teach and teach the Bible until God opens your mind and your heart so that you understand what it is that God is saying. We don't have that understanding, and we need to pray for it. Matthew 16, 15 and 17 through 17 says, He said to them, and this is Peter's confession of who Jesus is, and He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Peter's confession of who Jesus was not something that he learned, but something that was revealed to him. And there's a great passage in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes this 10 through 16, and let me read it for you. I'm not going to comment much on it. It's a long passage of Scripture. Follow along in your Bible if you want to. It says, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But the natural man does not accept these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritually appraised will all things. But he who spiritually appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For whom he has, for Whom has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And verse 16 is going back to the book of Isaiah. And it says, who can know the mind of the Lord? We can't know the depth of God. We can't understand it. But the Holy Spirit can reveal it to us. And we need to be praying that the Holy Spirit reveals to us the words of God, the mind of God, the will of God. See, I need you to be praying that for me, that I will understand what God is saying in His Word. That I will understand what the Spirit is leading me to do. And I need to be praying that for you. Because I don't think there's anyone in here that knows the total mind of God. I don't think there's anyone in here that has even a fraction of the knowledge of what God knows. Because we can't know that. But the Holy Spirit does know that. And the Holy Spirit lives within us. And so we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us the knowledge of God. And He will. Galatians 1, 11 and 12. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man. For I neither received it from a man, nor was it taught, nor was I taught it. But I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is Paul talking about the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, I didn't learn this from someone else. This isn't hearsay. This isn't happenstance. This is revealed to me by God. And so Paul had a tremendous understanding of the gospel. Maybe even a deeper understanding of the gospel than we do. And he certainly had a heart for the gospel and a desire to share the gospel. And I think that's because God revealed it to him in such a way that he had to just go out and share it and give his life sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, first of all, we can pray for one another that God will reveal to us his will. His mind, His wisdom, His knowledge, the knowledge of spiritual things. Because we're not going to learn them any other way. We're not going to learn them any other way. We're not going to be able to study hard and discover that. Even just taking your Bible, I'm just going to read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. Well, read the Bible, but first pray. God, reveal to me what it is that you want me to learn from here. I don't know how many times I have read a passage of Scripture, In fact, I thought I knew it quite well. And then all of a sudden I read it and the light bulb goes on. How many have ever had that experience? Have you? I mean, that is just so cool. And then, you know, you want to slap yourself up the side of the head. Why didn't I see that before? But don't do that. Because God just revealed it to you. And that's okay. And that's okay. You know, just say, thank you, Lord. I see it. I see it. You know, but it has happened to me. And I don't mean on obscure passages of Scripture that I read maybe once or twice a year. I'm talking about a passage of Scripture that I know that I've memorized. And it's like, wow, I just didn't see that. God, that is a revelation from God. And we need to pray that our hearts would be open so that we can understand what God is trying to tell us. The second thing that Paul prays in here, and this is something that we also desperately need, but Paul prays that we, or that you would know the hope of his calling. Know the hope of his calling. What is our calling? What does it mean, our calling? You know, now, we say of me, you know, people ask me, when did you feel the call to go into ministry, to be a pastor? And I tell them, well, boy, that was a long process because it was kind of a gradual call. I felt the call to be a missionary first, then I felt the call to be a youth pastor. And I didn't ever desire to be a senior pastor and to preach every Sunday. was not in my, but God called me to do that. I mean, he closed every door there was and opened one for me when I was in seminary. And that was to be a pastor of a small ethnic church when I was in seminary. And I just like, God, I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing it. And so I'm going to follow. And believe me, I wasn't that good about saying it that way. But anyway, the whole that, see, that's our calling. You say, well, I've not been called to be a pastor. I've not been called to be a missionary. I'm not. But you know, you have a calling. God has something that he wants you to do. And first of all, of course, and this is obvious. This is a kind of like a well, duh type of thing. God is calling you to be believers. He's calling you to know him, to come and find out who he is, to accept him as Lord and Savior, to know the joy of being a believer. See, he is calling you to that, and then he is calling you also to a ministry. You all have a calling. You all do. Not just pastors have a calling. We don't use those words necessarily, but you all have a calling. You know, God has laid something on your heart that he wants you to do. And in that calling, there is great hope. And we need hope today. We need hope. We look at the world around us, and unfortunately, I think as Christians, sometimes we let the world play us. We let the world beat us up, and we let the world tear us apart, and we let the world discourage us. You know, and I'm not talking about that we look at the world through rose-colored glasses. No. I'm saying we look at the world from God's perspective and not from ours. Yes, our world is a scary place. Our nation is becoming a scary place. But it shouldn't be for us who believe, because we have a God who is going to take care of us. Romans 8, verses 24 to 25 says, "For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But we hope for what we do not see. With perseverance we wait eagerly for it." See, we have a calling, and we may not see the end of that calling. We may not see how it's all going to work out. But we have a hope that God is going to work it out. We have a security in our heart that God is going to do it. And I'm not talking about wishing upon a star or something like that. But it comes from a realization, again, and this of God opening our minds, and we know the knowing spiritual wisdom and spiritual things, we understand who God is. And when we have that understanding of who God is, then we have hope. In whatever he calls us to do, we have hope. Paul writes in Colossians 1:27, "To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you. If we have Christ in us, then we have hope. The hope of glory. The hope of what Christ came for. He came to save us. He came to give us everlasting life. He came to give us abundant life, but not just abundant in the future. The abundant life starts now. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to be rich and famous and everything's going to go well for us. That means that the life that we have available to us now is going to fulfill us, is going to help us to be content. Because we have a hope in a God who can provide, in a God who will prevail. Titus 1:1 and 2, Paul, a bondservant of God and the apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to his godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. Eternal life. Eternal life. I still, I'm not a deep thinker, but what is someone who doesn't know God, what are they thinking? Now, I've done, 30, 40 funerals here, I guess, since I've been here. And I sit out there, I stand up here, and I look at these people, and especially, around here, when there's a funeral, there's a lot of community folks that show up, and I look at them and I say, what are they thinking? What are they thinking? Here, lying before us, or whatever, is someone who is deceased. They've died. Where are they? Where are they going? What are they doing? Are they just gone? Is that it? Is that the end? The minute that they stopped breathing and that heart stopped and the mind went dead? Did they just cease to exist? I don't like that idea. I don't like that idea at all. No, we have an eternal hope that no matter what happens to us, we're going to live forever. Do your worst to me. I'm going to live forever. Not on this earth, but with God in glory, I'm going to live forever. There's a hope in that. There's a power in that. There's a release in that. That no matter what man does to me, I have an eternal existence with God in glory. That's something to be hopeful about. And then the author of Hebrews writes in 6:19, this hope we have is an anchor of our soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. And when they're talking about the veil, we're talking about the veil of the temple. Into the Holy of Holies. That's the hope that we have. I love those words. It is an anchor for my soul. It is sure and it is steadfast. And it is a hope that ushers us in to the veil, to the Holy of Holies, to where God is. The third thing that I would like you to pray for me and for each other is that you would know the glory of his inheritance. That you would know the glory of his inheritance. What do we have waiting for us? What is it that we have waiting for us? Is there anything that we have now that is going to be better than my inheritance in God? I don't think so. I don't think there's anything that I have that is going to even hold a candle to what is in my future. The inheritance that I have as a child of God. Paul writes in Romans 8:16-17, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Paul puts it on, we are children of God. As children, we expect to inherit from our parents. I'm sorry, my kids aren't going to inherit anything from me. Maybe some debts. And I'm sorry about that, but I was fortunate that God blessed my parents, and when they both passed away, they left us an inheritance. It was a nice inheritance. It really was. And then the government said that, well, they wanted part of that inheritance, and the government took part of that inheritance. And then there were some other things that needed, and you know, that my inheritance kept shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And still, I was very blessed by the inheritance that I got from my parents. But you know what? It isn't there anymore. It's gone. You know, I mean, we bought some things with it. We did some things with it. And is it ever going to pay off? I don't know. But the inheritance that we have from God is a glory that is not going to dissipate. It's not going to ever run out. God's never going to run out of wealth. He's never going to run out of anything. And so the inheritance that we have from God is forever and ever. Riley, I'm going to skip to 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5, please, on there. And, you know, this is what Peter says about the inheritance that we get from God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that is part of our inheritance. And that part of the inheritance we understand now. We have now. We have this living hope that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. And it is available to us now in this living hope that we have. Verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. We have an inheritance that will never fade away. It's not exhaustible. It's not defiled. It's not going to perish. It's not going to be corrupted, corroded, stolen, anything. We have an inheritance in heaven. What a glory that is to know that we have an inheritance in the future. And sometimes I get bogged down in this world and I can't see ahead of me. I can't see what is coming into the future. And I start getting negative and I start thinking everything is just black. Everything is just dark. Now, some of it is my depression. I realize that. But please pray for me that I would know the glory of the inheritance of what I'm a child of God. I'm going to inherit what God has. I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Man, that's something to get excited about. That's something to get excited about. And the thing that is really cool about it, no matter how many children God has, the inheritance is going to remain the same for each and every one of us. You know, I was fortunate to have two other brothers. When it came to inheritance time, I wish I didn't. You know, that's selfish of me, I understand that. But you know, they took 2/3 of that money. Thank goodness they didn't have more kids. Or I wouldn't have gotten anything out of it. Now, of course, I love my brothers. I wish them no harm. It's great. I almost wish I had more brothers and sisters. I didn't have any sisters, so I wish I'd had a sister. But, you know, with God, it doesn't make any difference. Whether he has one child or 1 billion children, the inheritance is still the same for each and every one. So spread the word. God has an inheritance for you, and it's a great one. And live in the glory of the inheritance that he has for us. In fact, Paul, in 1 Timothy 6:17, wants Timothy to give a warning. He says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. See, God supplies us. Don't get stuck on what you have, thinking that you've got it made. Jesus tells stories about that when you do that. But we have an inheritance. And so we need to pray for one another that we would glory in the inheritance that God has for us. And then finally, and the last thing that we picked out of here is that God, that pray that you may know His power. That we may know the power of God. Now, we started our new study in our high school class. And again, any high schoolers here, please come 9:30 or and we have pop parts. The other classes don't serve pop parts. The high school class serves pop parts. We even have a toaster out there. And if you want milk, just let me know. I'll bring you some milk. But anyway, we talked about Elohim, the first name of God, Elohim. And what that name means, God, who is outside of time, outside of space, who out of nothing created everything, and He created it, and He said it was good. I can't say it the way Tony Evans says it, but at one point he goes, good. You know, so that's, but I can't do it the way he does it. But that is the God that we have. That is the God that we worship. That is the God we belong to. The God who took nothing and created everything. That's a powerful God. That's a powerful God. And when you look at His creation, and this is one of the things that was brought up, you know, that He created the creation to reproduce. So that He wouldn't have to create, recreate, recreate. He did. He created once, and it was enough. Because it was perfect. It was perfect. But the God who has that kind of power is our God. And we need to pray that we can understand the might of God. A little later on in Ephesians, Paul says in chapter 3, verse 20, "Now to Him who is able to do abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Paul says that God is able to do abundantly more than what we can ask or think. That's our God. That's our God. And He richly He wonderfully takes care of us. That's our God. Do we understand the power of God? Oftentimes, and I don't. I kind of think, again, I've got this sort of Old Testament, New Testament thing going on in my mind. I love the Old Testament. It's got such great examples of God's power. Of course, creation is the ultimate example of God's power. But I look at the different kings Abraham and Moses and the plagues and the separating of the Red Sea and the Jordan River drying up and people walking through and all the battles on and I look at that and I say, wow, what a powerful God. That was the Old Testament. I live in New Testament times. But what's wrong with me? God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. And this is what Paul is saying here when he says that He can do abundantly more than I can ask or think. That's my God. He is that powerful. I need to understand that power, that God who created the heavens is there for me today. I don't need to be afraid. I don't really need to be fearful, because God's power is there. When I don't see a way out of something, God can take care of that. God can help me through it. God can help me through it. Because He is the all-powerful God, and I need to wake up to the knowledge of His power, to the might of who He is, and to the might of the one who I call my God, and the one who entreats me to call upon Him, because He can do more than I can possibly imagine in my life. I need to know the power of God. I need to know the power that is available to me through His Holy Spirit that lives in me. Because again, the Holy Spirit has the power of God. I'm going to challenge you again as we begin a new year. As maybe again you're re-looking at some of your habits and trying to maybe get into a good Bible study habit or a good prayer habit. I don't know why I'm saying prayer. I tend to. Anyway. But when we get into a new prayer habit, I want to encourage you to add something to your prayers. If you're not already doing this, pray for someone. Pray for someone in the church. It doesn't have to be the same one every day. In fact, I would prefer that you don't do the same one every day. Just go down the list. Go down the directory. Of course, when you get to the maze, stop for a while. Pray that for, you know, a week, month, something like that. He needs it. You know, I noticed I didn't say my kids need it. I didn't say my wife needs it. Well, my wife needs it because she deals with me. But anyway, you know, but pray for one another. And here's what you can pray. First, thank God for them. And then pray that they would, in their hearts, would see the knowledge of God, that spiritual knowledge, that they would know the hope of the calling and the glory of the inheritance that we receive, and would know the power of God in our lives. I don't think there's anyone here that understands the power of God. I really don't. And I don't think that we can understand it all in one shot. I think it's a God reveals to us as we can handle it. I really do. But yes, pray for me when I'm sick. Please do that. But even if I'm not sick, I'm still lacking. And I'm still needing something. And Paul hits the nail right on the head of something that not only I need, but in my deepest suspicions, you probably need it too in your lives. Don't be reactive in your prayer life, but proactive. And let's see what God will do in your life and in our church when we pray for one another in this way. Let's pray. Father, thank you that, again, you encourage us to come to you in prayer, that you desire for us to come to you in prayer. And Lord, there is so much that we do need. Lord, there isn't anyone right now that is hearing my voice that has it all put together and knows everything. Father, we have so much to learn. We have so much growing to do. Lord, help us as we follow you. Help us, Lord, to grow in you, that we would truly know the power of the Almighty God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.